It's time to open the thrift shop with DJ Frederick.
Drifting by. Hey now, now, hey now, now, I'm drifting by. Dreaming about the way things sound now, write about them in my book. Worry that you can't hear me now, feel the time I took to help you feel this feeling, let you ride along. Dreaming about the way you feel now when you hear my song. I'm drifting back, I'm drifting back.
nation. Excuse my religion, dreaming about the way things feel now. Write it in my book, blocking out all the thoughts now.
I'm drifting down, I'm drifting down, I'm drifting down, I'm drifting down.
Picasso. I used to dig Picasso. Then the big tech giant came along and turned him into wallpaper. Hey now, I used to dig Picasso.
haircut. Gonna get a hip hop haircut. Gonna get a hip hop haircut.
My friends, is what they call a barn burner. Back in the glory days of FM, there'd be songs that you'd call bathroom break songs. Well, that song is bathroom break, take a shower, go get lunch, cruise on back. I absolutely love it. The best song on the best album that Neil Young's released since Greendale. Tune called Driftin' Back from his brand new release, Psychedelic Pill. Pick it up. It's definitely one of the best of 2012. And I'll be playing more tracks from that when I do the best of 2012 broadcast in just a few weeks. Yes, this is DJ Frederick. You are listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, where we cruise up and down the dusty side of music from 1900 to next week, with LPs, 45s, 78s, tapes, and even a few endangered compact discs. I have a thrift shop find of the week. It is a 45 vinyl RPM single released in January of 1967 on the RCA Victor label by the Kabuki Strings, an instrumental tune called 67. Thank you.
let me tell you, ladies and gents, I enjoyed myself to my heart's content. I could not follow the procession, but I was there to see the coronation. I was there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
I took up my position at Marble Arch from the night before just to see the march. The night wind was blowing, freezing and cold, but I held my ground like a young Creole. I was there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
My stoic stance soon paid dividends, for I saw them coming around the bend. Then I perceived in all her glory the golden coach with her majesty. She was there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
Her Majesty looked really divine in her crimson robe, furred with her mind. The Duke of Edinburgh, dignified and neat, sat beside her as Admiral of the fleet. He was there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
1,000 guardsmen marching ahead, physicians and surgeons all in good stead. All the lords of the Admiralty, the War Office and the Air Ministry, they were there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
Navy, Army, Royal Air Force, Chiefs of Staff, United Kingdom, of course. The Royal Horse Guards, we chanced to see, escort of the Household Cavalry, they were there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
Troop from Dominion and colonies, Australia, New Zealand and West Indies. India, Ceylon, West Africa, Newfoundland, Gibraltar, and Canada, they were there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
The procession was about 50,000 strong. It stretched for much more than 6 miles long. Millions of people, all happily, shouting 3 cheers for Her Majesty. They were there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
As I stood there looking rapturously, a feeling of elation came over me. I felt what pleasure such beauty gives. I shall never forget as long as I live. I was there
at the coronation.
We were there
at the coronation.
I was there
at the coronation.
Millions there
at the coronation.
something brand new on vinyl by Waganda Kenya, a tune called Bayessa. Before that, Young Tiger, I Was There at the Coronation. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. And right now, I'm going to play part two of the Yiddish Radio Project.
Almost 70 years ago, a rabbi named Shmuel Aaron Rubin began recording the proceedings of his traditional mediation court. It was a continuation of a centuries-old Eastern European practice in which learned men would settle community disputes without involving outside authorities. Realizing that New World technology was the best way to spread Old World values, Rubin started the weekly radio show, The Jewish American Board for Peace and Justice, and one of the first Courts of the Air was born. Discovered outside a home for aged rabbis on New York's Lower East Side in 1997, the recordings of Rabbi Rubin's court were rescued just before they were going to be carted off to the dump. Now they offer an unparalleled opportunity to listen in on the voices, lives, and conflicts of ordinary Jewish immigrants more than half a century ago. Our story is told by Rubin's son, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Rubin.
Und jetzt Case Nummer 8662.
That's me, more than 50 years ago, announcing a case overseen by my father, Rabbi Shmuel Aaron Rubin of blessed memory. My father was a kind and wise man who felt that everyone, rich and poor, deserved justice. So on certain Sundays, he'd open the doors to his society for retired rabbis and invite the community in to help settle their disputes. In the late 1930s, he began recording these cases and broadcasting them on the radio for people to learn from.
It seems that my wife suffers from hallucinations, grand hallucinations, whereby she figures that I'm always telling her lies.
My father held court in a room at the back of the society. He'd sit at a table behind a microphone, concentrating on the case at hand. On either side, a panel of distinguished community members assisting him and asking questions in English.
Exactly what is it that you're complaining about besides what you told us about his lying?
Well, sometimes he used to come home 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
You objected to that?
And yes,
and
I did.
Were there numerous quarrels?
Yes, there were.
Disputes?
Yes.
And those are the things that you can't stand?
That's right, yes.
All right.
Today, it seems like you can't turn on the TV without seeing a court case. But back in the 1940s, a show like this was completely different, and the participants seemed almost to forget that they were on the air.
He was telling me, I love you very much. If you don't marry me, I'm going to have a hemorrhage. Since I am married, I have never seen peace in my home.
My father presided over hundreds of cases, many of them involving wives and husbands.
The woman absolutely didn't want to do nothing for me. And of course she misled me, and then she threw me out of the house again. And if a woman throws me out of the house, I have no confidence in such people.
But over the years, my father's court settled every kind of dispute you could imagine between salesmen and customers.
What is basically wrong with this machine?
I certainly will answer that question immediately.
Between dentists and patients.
She claims I pulled two. I only pulled one tooth out. A lower right cusped, and I have it in my pocket, and there's an upper right molar.
Between undertakers and the bereaved.
You know that 12 plots were purchased.
What you say?
You know that 12 plots were purchased, and it's 23 years ago.
I was what?
You know that 12 plots were purchased 23 years ago. Is that
I
right?
I do not. I beg your pardon.
Just a minute.
My record is clear.
Nobody is.
I'm frightened to tell you I know nothing. The records were all there.
Rabbi Rubin.
Things could get heated in my father's court, but he never loses composure. He'd just sit there, a kind look on his face, leaving it to his associates to interrogate the aggrieved parties. Let's listen to State Senator Bernard Austin questioning an unscrupulous father.
What's the most important thing in your life, money or your happiness?
Happiness.
What happiness did you give this boy?
I gave the boy the happiness all he wanted.
How often have you seen him?
I saw the boy whenever I had a chance.
How often is that? How long has he been away from you?
I saw him maybe twice.
The mere fact that you just gave him a few dollars every now and then, or the $10 a week,
well,
that isn't happiness to a child. Wait a minute. Just a minute. Now we're getting back to this lady.
Yeah.
What have you done to make her life happy to live with you?
I was waiting for a year. I supported her.
What is it that you want now?
I don't want nothing. She isn't for me, and I'm not for her. If a woman could put me in business and then later make me miserable...
Excuse me, just a moment.
Yes?
You're bringing up a very touchy thing.
I'm
you
not
marry
touchy.
A woman for a woman to put you into business.
I told her before.
Wait a minute. You're only looking for the standpoint of your own good.
No, I ain't.
Because you married her, as you just said.
Yeah?
That you married her so that she could put you into business.
What do you expect me to do? Carry 100 pounds of dry goods on my shoulder?
Through all of this, our engineer, Mr. Rosenblatt, would sit in the corner of the room, cutting a 16-inch disc of the proceedings for the radio broadcast. When a 15-minute side was finished, we'd pause while Mr. Rosenblatt put on a new disc. After the arguments and deliberations were complete, it was time for the decision. Hal Linden is the voice of my father, in this case, involving a daughter who didn't want to care for her 83-year-old mother. The court ruled in favor of the old woman.
I envy you the great good deed you are about to do, taking your blind, elderly mother home with you. And we appeal through our radio waves to your neighbors. Maybe you have 18 of them, and three-quarters of them listen to our radio waves. So those neighbors, they should help you so that your mother will never go without food and never want for a cup of warm water. You'll take your mother with you, and that's what is best. Go in good health, go home and take pride in the good deed you have done, and may God bless you for your kind act.
My father's organization for retired rabbis, the House of Sages, still exists on the Lower East Side. Here, old men study Torah and pray. For more than 45 years, the society has been run by my brother-in-law, Rabbi Kamen Gershon Neumann, who also continued my father's weekly radio broadcasts.
This was an arbitration court, and once you signed up, the decision was binding.
My father used to tell my brother-in-law that presiding over the court was one of his most significant achievements.
Rabbi Rubin, may rest in peace, it was more important to him than the organization itself, because, you know, learning Torah, very important, but to be able to bring peace in families, among families, the rabbi always thought that this is his major accomplishment.
Let's take a few minutes to listen to my father help bring peace to a family. The case takes place sometime in the 1940s. A mother has brought her son to court. She's upset because her son promised to give her $6 a week and stopped. He's upset because his mother is mean to his wife. My father's colleague, Bernard Austin, opens the questioning.
Are you the son of this lady?
Yes.
And did you promise to help her financially?
Yes, I did.
Did you live up to your promise?
I did until some time ago.
How long ago?
Exactly a year ago.
Your intentions were to give her $6 a week.
Yes.
And why did you stop contributing that amount?
Well, I don't want to hurt my mother. I have one mother, but I have a wife and three children.
But you hurt her by not giving her support.
Yes, but you see, my mother has been saying that two good things about my wife. My wife has feel very bad, and I never see my mother. I fear as if there's no mother to me. I don't like to give money to somebody. And meanwhile, she never comes around to visit my family.
All right, one moment, please.
And she lives around the corner.
Excuse me.
At this point, my father steps in.
Do you speak Yiddish?
A little, yeah.
I want to ask you a question. We know you're a good child. Every child wants to help his mother. What's keeping you from that? Tell us the truth. I know there's a good reason that you're not giving her the money. Is it because of your wife?
No, not my wife.
No, so why don't you help your mother?
Well, I'll tell you. It's like this. Money is something. You understand? The help. But it isn't everything. That's the way I felt about it. Here my mother come to my child's bris. She lived around the corner. Why? Because she has a feeling towards my wife, which if I give her $6 a week, it wouldn't help any.
You want your mother to come to your house and help your wife with the children?
Not to help her, but to say hello, see how the children are getting along.
Your mother is angry at your wife.
And she's wrong, and I'm in the middle. And
tell
if I give her, it seems to encourage her not to stay away from my house.
Tell me.
Bernard Austin again.
Does your mother have another source of livelihood?
I don't know. That's why I get here.
As an honest man, you know that your mother depended upon the $6 a week that you gave her.
She did.
And there's no moral justification why you shouldn't give your mother the $6 that you promised her.
There's no moral justification for the $6, but don't you see? I see by her giving $6, she stays more away from the house. She doesn't come and visit my family. If I do meet her on the street occasionally, I feel bad. It's like a rupture in my heart. I go to work and know that something isn't wholesome. Everything isn't right. So I stopped. Yes, I stopped. I had to do something.
Would you welcome your mother to visit your home?
Surely, after all, I'm her son. And I'd like her to say good things about my wife.
Would you give her the $6 in
but
current payments?
But imagine what's happening to my heart
just
all the time.
My question.
My mother's
sir,
staying away for a year. She lives around
you,
the corner.
We heard you. Would you want to make current payments of $6 every week, beginning from today on?
Surely.
You would.
As a matter of fact.
And would you give her the differential of the $300 which accumulated for the year that you didn't give
Surely.
Her any money?
Don't
and
worry.
What do you ask from her in return?
Don't worry. I didn't spend that money. I saved it.
What do
but
you
after
ask?
All, she's a mother to
Fine.
Me. I want
what
to
you...
see me and the children.
All right,
God
one
forbid.
Moment, please.
I want to give her security
the
after I see how her husband treated her.
One moment, please. And
I turned to the mother and asked what she has to say.
I have good children, but my daughter-in-law, I go to her house and she shouts at me. She calls me on the phone and says, Mom, come over, and when I get there, she accuses me of beating my son. She says I smacked him left and right.
Smacked him left and right.
My daughter-in-law, she doesn't even act like a Jew. How can I stand for that? Oh, how I have suffered. She's always insulting me. I told her how important her husband was to me, and she said, go get your own husband. And about her husband, she says, I smacked him.
I smacked him.
Entschuldigung.
I tell the woman she must stop.
The decision for
the court deliberates. And then my father announces the decision.
Ja, richtig.
Yes, quite a case.
A case, sehr ernste case.
Quite a serious case.
Ich muss da mannen.
A case predicated on a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Here sits a mother who is terribly angry at her children. But she forgets that her son is a son and her daughter-in-law is a daughter. I think she feels that the son is a son and the daughter-in-law is no more than some young woman who stole her son away. So there she sits in anger. It states in the Torah that elders should not encourage disrespect in their children. If this woman is disrespectful of her children and her grandchildren see this, that is not a good thing. Money she wants from her son, but when it comes to going to his home, she refuses to go. That is why this case is a very important one. And in this case, we sympathize with the son, and we side with him and his wife. Mrs., you are the wife of a good son, but the daughter-in-law of a difficult mother-in-law. We have neither the time nor strength to convince your mother-in-law that she must change. You must keep your home open to your mother-in-law and do what you can for her. And I am sure that when you do good deeds on your mother-in-law's behalf, she will reciprocate. Mister, give the money to your mother, and we beseech your mother to respect you and to stop ignoring your wife and your dear little children. We will send our ladies' auxiliary to your house in the next few weeks to make sure that this matter has been resolved and that you have peace in your home.
And then I conclude the broadcast by saying, a heartfelt thanks to you, Rabbi Rubin, for your wise decision. My father, Rabbi Shmuel Aaron Rubin, of blessed memory, presided over the Jewish Court for Peace and Justice until his death in 1957. I am Rabbi Menachem Mendel Rubin.
This is Jewish American Board for Peace and Justice.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for the Radio Thrift Shop this week. I'm DJ Frederick. I'd love to hear from you. The email is fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. We heard Indian Bingo from a 7-inch vinyl single released on Independent Project Records, background 1997, Vomit on Your Coffee Table. Before that, Magnetite with Don't Close the Door. Henry Mancini is gonna close us out. A little bit of jive. Remember, hey, wherever you are, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.